Hour number two on this Saturday, Four's Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman, Connor Newt going to join us live from Lexington, Kentucky, coming up in just about 10 minutes. Before that, we got to get to our question of the day. Nick Frazier wants to know, if you were the owner of a pro sports team, who would your main investor be? So somebody with a lot of money. And who would your celebrity endorsement be? We got a good answer from Kenny the Mailman earlier saying that, hey, he doesn't want celebrities. He doesn't want billionaires. He wants the fans for both, which I like it. A little grassroots Titans organization going on over there. Nick Frazier, you asked the question. What's your answer?
I've been thinking about this one. And, like, I'll have to say Jeff Bezos. I mean, it's the easiest route to say because the guy's got money flown out of every orifice on his body.
Yeah, that dude could buy the entire NFL.
Yeah, he really could. I mean, he owns Thursday nights, so might as well own a franchise while you're at it.
Right.
Or just help out with the franchise. So I go there. I would say kind of to Kenny's standpoint of like a local celebrity, not for the fan perspective of it. I'm talking about an investor. Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, like they're doing with the whole basketball thing.
Yeah.
Bring them on for football.
It's a good one.
Why not? As for fan perspective, though, you know how much of a foodie I am. He's already a fan, I guess, liaison for the Raiders. I'm going Guy Fieri.
Oh.
Guy Fieri.
I like it.
Everybody knows my fandom for Guy Fieri. The Triple D show is incredible. This guy just, I feel like if you bring in a guy like Guy Fieri, he'll open up a restaurant that's his in the Nashville area. I'm say for the Titans, for example. I think the food landscape would be 100 times better in the Nashville area. Nonetheless, do I want that? Yes and no, because I love food, love different flavors to the palate, but that's beyond that point. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of money and so forth, but I would love a Guy Fieri to be the face of a fandom for the Titans.
It's a good one.
That's making
good
me one. Hungry.
I mean, he's got the spiky, fiery hair. Bring it on.
You could do it. Honestly, just dye his hair and make it look like the Titans flames.
Yeah, give him a little blue tip and red tip. He's already got the white hair.
I'm in. Jake Wallman, what are your thoughts on the question of the day?
So, in Kenny's phone call, I got to thinking about what my answer would be. And I've really liked what I've seen out of the ownership group with the Preds and Bill Haslam and just kind of having that local, you know, somebody that's from here that wants to see a local team succeed. So I would go with Bill Haslam as a guy that I would partner with.
Just give him the monopoly on sports teams.
Yeah, you know, let him have it. And then I wouldn't partner with somebody, just one single person for like the fan perspective. I would want more of a board type feel to it. And I'd want like former players.
Yeah.
I'd want former players, people that have played for the franchise that know what, you know, they know how to strike a chord with the fans in a good way and just kind of let them, you know, throw every idea out there that they have.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Get the fans involved, which is always what you're trying to do.
And maybe you can add, some fans to the board in a sense, you're getting, you're giving the people the voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of what Kenny the Mailman was trying to get across too. For me, my investor, I know he's a Memphis guy. Give me Fred Smith. His son was part of the glory days of the Titans over the last 5 years. Titans' best offensive season ever came with Arthur as the offensive coordinator. Bring back Fred, and then we can make Arthur the head coach.
I'm kidding
about that,
okay.
Which maybe he would.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it's a Tennessee guy. Like, it could come down the road. I know he's FedEx in Memphis and all that stuff. But
sure.
That was the name that came to mind for me. And then for celebrity endorsement, I'm going Dolly Parton.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
No Alex Bregman? I mean, are you kidding me? This is perfect.
Alex Bregman needs to be in Detroit.
It's okay, though. You can have him in the offseason. Boom. There you go. Titans.
Once again asking for Alex Bregman to sign with the Tigers. I promise.
Oh,
I will buy $25 of Little Caesars. I will. No, I'd go Dolly Parton. I think that's somebody who Nashville obviously gets behind.
Yeah.
And she's not really in the public eye as much lately, but the Titans, hey, go sign her to a big deal. Be like, hey, you come out at 5 of our home games and hype up the crowd, maybe do some video stuff. I think that would go well.
Yeah, I think it would.
So that's my two. Fred Smith, Dolly Parton. Dustin from Hopkinsville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Terry Crews as a celebrity endorser. That's a 12th Titan right there. Like, he looks like the Titan man.
Oh, yeah, that dresses
ripped.
Up.
Ripped. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he says Donald Trump is his billionaire investor. I mean, he might be a little bit busy. he says, I can hear it now. Trump in the Trump voice. We need Connor here for the Trump voice.
Yeah.
Amy, you got to go. You're fired.
You got to go. You're fired. Yeah. That's a Connor.
I feel like he's a little bit busy, but maybe down the road he could.
We'll ask Connor when he gets on.
I don't know if he's got too much investment in Tennessee. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric is on the line wanting to chime in. Eric, who would be your billionaire investor? Who would be your celebrity endorsement if you owned a pro sports team?
Well, being an investor, I don't know if he would do it here because I'm sure pretty busy. And that's, of course, Phil Knight, because I know he's got ties to Oregon and that area and stuff. But that would be probably my being an investor would be here. As far as celebrities, I was going to say Dolly, but somebody took mine. Yeah, I just heard it. So I thought about Jelly Roll, but I probably wouldn't do him because he's already pretty much involved with a lot of people. But if I had to pick one, I don't know if he would do it. Another Tennessee tie. How about Peyton Manning? Would probably be another one.
Yeah.
But whether or not he would do it, I don't know. That's another one I thought of. But it's just you would definitely want somebody to help with the fans and all that type of stuff. So it's just tough thinking about stuff on the fly. But y'all are throwing out some pretty good ideas.
Thanks for the call, Eric. Yeah, Peyton Manning. I was actually just talking to somebody about this the other day. How close he was to coming to Nashville when he hit free agency back in 2012.
Yeah.
I remember the Pancake Pantry deal. Do you guys remember that?
I wasn't around here, so I don't remember that.
I think I recall.
There was a deal that the Pancake Pantry offered Peyton Manning where he could get, like, free pancakes for life from there or something if he came to play for the Titans.
Wow. That's a great deal. I can't believe he passed that up.
I know. Listen, some syrup along with some pancakes. But you know what? It's probably because he knew that I could make pancakes on the stone. He's like, all right. I got another guy.
That's true. Peyton came out like 2 or 3 years ago and was asked how close he was to coming to Tennessee, and he said really close. That's one of those who knows what would have happened, the butterfly effect. What would the Titans organization look like right now if they got 5 years of Peyton Manning?
In a reverse or in an alternate universe, he probably did.
I mean, yeah,
Titans probably got a Super Bowl.
I don't know about that because he the only one he won, it really wasn't him. Like, he was Noodle Arm at that point.
I mean,
the year he went and got blown out by the Seahawks, that was prime Peyton Manning. Like, that was still MVP Peyton Manning. So I don't know. Would he have won a Super Bowl with the Titans? Possibly. Probably a better chance than Matt Hasselbeck, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jake Locker in that span.
Gut tells me no, but you made a good question about what would the Titans look like after having Peyton Manning.
If you have Peyton around the organization for 5 years, I think there's a lot of things that look very different.
Yes, I think there's a lot of things that look different. I honestly think this team's in a better position now than they would be in just the grand scheme of it all. I think if Peyton Manning were to be with the Titans back in the day, this franchise would have been set up for success for the next 30 years.
Did you ever watch the NFL Network did like a little YouTube short called the NFL with Dave Damashek?
No.
He would just, it was like a little whiteboard thing, and he would write out if one thing changed, like what if John Elway played baseball, and all the different effects it would have had. I'd love to see that one. What if Peyton Manning went to the Titans, and, you know, where does Marcus Mariota end up? Because he wouldn't have been in Nashville.
Right.
Like, I think there would have been a lot of butterfly effects that end up changing the entire league if he had made his decision to come back to the Volunteer State. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Investment advice for you in the short term and for the future. When we come back, the fourth member of Forrest Company rejoins the show for the first time in 2 weeks. Connor Newt going to join us live from Lexington, Kentucky, here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The triumphant return of Connor Newt. He is back, was not with us last week. He is on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com right now. Force Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman, and now Connor Newt joining us live from Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. How is it up there, Connor?
What's up, fellas? I feel like I haven't seen you in 2 years.
I know. It's been too long.
Still haven't seen you. I can't see you. All I see is blue right now, but I haven't talked to you in like 8 years.
It's been too long. We've missed you. We can't wait to have you back in studio next week, but glad you are living your best Big Blue life up there. Are you getting excited for the game?
Yeah, we are. It's starting to pop. It's me and my dad right now, but you know, Rupp is filling up. Lots of blue around here. I have yet to see any South Carolina red. I have a feeling you're not going to see too much garnet today. But yeah, it's filling up. I'm just ready to get some Rupp ice cream, to be honest with you.
Well, hopefully the Gamecocks don't get their first SEC win of the season this afternoon up there in Lexington.
If it's going to be against anyone, it's going to be against Kentucky. I'll tell you that. That's just how it works, apparently.
Tip-off up there coming up at 11 a.m. Connor, we just finished up going over our question of the day. We want to get your thoughts on this, too.
Oh, okay.
So Nick Frazier wants – did you actually hear the question?
I heard it, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I let him in on it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Wallman gave me a little debriefing. Does it have to be a real person?
You know, no, we'll give you leeway to do whatever you want.
Okay.
Because so I want to hear this answer.
To help me run the team, I'm bringing in accountant extraordinaire Kevin Malone.
There it is.
Wow.
Great answer.
Malone's
Kevin
cones?
Malone's votes. He would help me run the team, and our finances would be in order. Money would be going to the right place.
Lots of Kalevin in those books.
Yes, lots of chili being made, too. That's the media meal would be Kevin's famous chili.
Music 11, you're home by 7. He was home by 3:30 that day.
I'll be home by 5. It's going to be awesome.
Who's your celebrity endorsement?
I got a few. I'm going to go with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I knew it was going to be a wrestler. On the money.
Can you just imagine him? Let's say I'm owning the Titans, and if you're Stone Cold comes out as the 12th Titan or whatever, give me a hell yeah. That would just be hilarious. So he'd get that crowd going.
Beer sales would be through the roof.
Yes.
I think you would have to have Stone Cold do a Stone Cold Stunner to the team's mascot at the 50-yard line before every game. Do you guys remember? Yes. Frazier may remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Where somebody would dress up as, like, the mock mascot of the away team.
And yeah.
T-Rack would, you know, mess with them and stuff. And, I mean, get T-Rack and Stone Cold together.
Unlike the team down in Jacksonville, my mascot would actually win.
Yeah, not going to have Will Levis knock him out.
Nope. That's not how that works. No Duval.
Duval.
Oh, my God. As a Kentucky fanatic, we do not claim Liam Cohen.
It's gotten better. I've seen him do the Duval a couple times since then. I feel like he got some notes, but, God, the first
one was bad. The eyebrows that drive me crazy.
Duval.
I hate it.
Connor, thoughts on the Super Bowl tomorrow? We just finished up talking about the big game, Chiefs and Eagles. I know it's not the game anybody wanted, but it's the game we got. Do you think the Chiefs get a three-peat?
It's hard for me to bet against Patrick Mahomes, especially as the amount of times he's been here. I think I saw the Chiefs opened up at 1.5-point favorites, which is the first time they've been favored in any Super Bowl appearance so far. Yeah. I want to cheer for the Eagles just because I don't want to see the Chiefs win it again. I don't like the Chiefs. I don't like this whole Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing I have to constantly hear about. But I don't know. I don't like either team. I hope both teams have fun. That's my message to both teams. Have fun because no one else really cares that you're there.
We kind of talked about this earlier, just touched on it briefly. If the Chiefs do win, does that make Patrick Mahomes the second greatest quarterback of all time?
No. I think it's Brady one, and then I think we're young for this, so we're not supposed to say this, but Joe Montana is definitely two. I know they would be tied for Super Bowls at four, but go back and watch some of the film on Joe Montana throwing the ball to Jerry Rice. That's elite level quarterback. That may be the most talented quarterback of all time in Joe Montana.
Yeah, I think there's an argument both ways if you match the amount of Super Bowls. But,
yeah,
man, Mahomes doing it all before. He's still, what, like 29?
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah, I mean, he could retire today, and, I mean, there would be a conversation to be had.
I mean, I think
where he stands.
I think he could retire today and be a top five quarterback of all time before even playing the game.
I agree with that.
I think if he wins tomorrow, I think he's for sure top three.
Yeah, it's a tough conversation. I don't think anyone will ever beat Brady out. That's the winningest quarterback of all time. That's our quarterback our generation grew up with. Hell, there was never a time until 2023 when he retired that Tom Brady was not the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in my lifetime.
Yeah, because what, he got drafted in 2000?
Yep, yeah, 2000. He was always New England starting quarterback until 2019 offseason he left for Tampa Bay.
Yes, after the Titans ended the Patriots dynasty.
Logan Ryan's interception.
Yep.
It's going to be really weird when LeBron retires too, because I've only known him, an NBA with him in it. It's going to be really weird.
Speaking of LeBron, Luka Doncic. Is it the worst trade of all time?
Oh, my God. That was awful, wasn't it? Like, what are they doing? That would be like if the St. Louis Cardinals back in the day decided, hey, we're going to trade you Albert Pujols. All you got to do is give us, you know, Andrew McCutchen and a seventh-round pick. That's terrible.
I don't even think that is we said the NFL comparison would be Joe Burrow for Matthew Stafford in a second-round pick.
That's what a horrible trade. Why would you throw your entire future away like that? And it may help the Mavericks this year with Anthony Davis, who is kind of on the back end of his career, and Kyrie Irving, who's kind of in the same boat, and Klay Thompson, who is definitely not the same Klay Thompson. That may help him win in the next 1 to 2 years, but you just gave Lakers LeBron's successor. You gave them everything they need.
Right.
And that's ridiculous. Like, what is the NBA thinking? What are the Mavericks thinking? And the Mavericks were the ones that went to the Lakers and said, hey, we'll give you this.
The Mavericks, if you're going to trade a player of that caliber, you get all 29 other teams' offers. I said this earlier. You call every other team and say, what is your best offer? And I promise you that probably 25 other teams would have offered more than that.
That's ridiculous. I mean, Luka is probably, from a trade value standpoint, I would put him top three in the league. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander might have a higher trade value. And, I mean, maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo or someone like that. But Luka for Anthony Davis in a first-round pick, that'll probably end up being, you know, in the 30s.
Don't forget Max Christie.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget Max Christie. The biggest piece of this trade was Jalen Hood-Schifino going over to Utah.
Right. I mean, just a horrible trade, and I think we will be able to say 5-10 years down the road, maybe the worst trade in sports history. Connor, yeah. We will let you go. Enjoy the game today. Go Big Blue.
I'll do my best.
Hopefully it's not too interesting down the stretch.
Well, I'm okay if it's interesting, as long as it's interesting for the right people.
Yeah, I guess that is true. What score prediction?
Score prediction, I'll say 82-69 Cats.
There we go. Connor Newt joining us live from Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky. Connor, enjoy the game. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Go Big Blue. Just keep in mind, I'm undefeated in Kentucky at sporting events, not just basketball. So the streak's on the line today, fellas.
There we go. We'll keep an eye on it. Connor Newt will be back in studio with us next week, joining us for Newt's Notes on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Extra scoop of ice cream for me, Connor.
Connor Newt.
Ice cream. Okay.
Yeah, there
extra
you go.
Scoop, bud. Appreciate it.
See you, Connor.
See you. Yeah.
Connor Newt joining us from Rupp Arena. Always great to talk to Connor. And again, glad to have him on after he missed all of last week's show.
A hiatus that we thought would never end.
I know.
It's finally ended. Thank goodness.
Yeah, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So, yeah. Great to have him back on for Newt's Notes.
Indeed.
We will get to some more college basketball coming up next. Talking about the SEC continuing to show off its dominance as they cannibalize each other, but just maybe the best conference we've seen in college basketball history. And we'll talk about, as we approach March, it's just 3 weeks away, who are we keeping an eye on as we approach the best time on the college basketball calendar. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home with a $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman coming back after this here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Forrest Company, extended show today. We're up till 11:30, so we've still got an hour with you as we will lead you right in to Vanderbilt men's basketball, hosting Texas over at Memorial Gymnasium this afternoon. Big one for the Commodores. We just had Connor Newt on live from Rupp Arena. So we're going to get into some college basketball here. We're getting close to March. We are, five weeks from tomorrow is Selection Sunday. So we will have a bracket in just over 30 days. And the SEC continues to dominate. We'll see if they can finish it off when it actually counts coming up in March Madness. But man, looking at the SEC, we've talked about it before how the top 16 strength of schedules entering conference play were all the SEC teams, but they continue to prove how good they are. Tennessee with another huge win this week, and they have moved into one seed area, I believe. But Jake, Lenardi has Tennessee on the one line now?
Yeah, with the Missouri win on Wednesday. That was their fourth quad one win this year. So Lenardi believes that they solidified their spot as a one seed.
Right. Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, all on the one line.
And it would be their first one seed in school history, too.
Right.
But me personally, I've thought about this over the past couple years where Tennessee has kind of been in that conversation of having a one seed. I really don't care about having a one seed. I mean, it's kind of like winning the SEC tournament. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't. I mean, it's good that Tennessee won the SEC tournament a few years ago because it was their first SEC tournament championship since like 1977, 79, one of the two. But I just want to see him win. I don't care about having the one seed when you get booted in the second round.
Yeah. I have a smirk on my face. I'm just laughing in my head because Wallman's basically said what I'm thinking. And it's like, as Tennessee fans, you should not be okay with just being the one seed. Like, I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit because we're talking SEC basketball here, but when it comes to March, and I've mentioned it before, this team, I think this team might get embarrassed. I really do. I have a sick feeling this team might get if they're a one seed, it might get embarrassed the first round.
Hey, ask my Virginia friends about being a one seed.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work out.
It doesn't.
UMBC, one of the greatest nights of my life, by the way.
I bet you were happy as a client.
Oh, watching them lose by 20 to a team whose mascot is the Golden Retrievers was awesome.
Where the dogs at? Roo, roo, roo.
I mean, looking at Lunardi's bracketology projections, five of the top eight teams overall are from the SEC. Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee are on the one lines. Texas A&M and Florida are on the two lines. Man, if Tennessee gets this draw that ESPN has them, I think that's a Final Four team. Looking at the top seeds on their side of the bracket, obviously, Lunardi is not making the bracket, so it wouldn't turn out this way. But let's say randomly this is what the teams were. A&M is a two seed. I watched Buzz Williams for a long time. I don't think he's going to get it done in March Madness and go to the Final Four. Your three seed is Iowa State, who's shown that they're more than beatable. They've had a couple of bad losses the last couple of weeks. Kansas State, I believe, beat them. Your four seed is Wisconsin. Fine.
It's fair.
Your five seed is St. John's and Rick Pitino. Like, I think Tennessee, that's a great draw for them. You're avoiding teams like Purdue, who obviously we saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
Houston would be in another bracket. UConn, who currently is a seven seed, but we saw what they did 2 years ago as a four seed. And, you know, with Hurley at the helm, you never know what could go there.
Right.
I like this draw for Tennessee. Obviously, there's a long way to go. We still got a month to go.
A projected bracket. I think you may have just talked about this with Tennessee as a one seed. Last night, it had New Mexico, Wisconsin as like the 8-9 game. I can't remember who was the two seed, but it was a really good draw for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I almost sent it to you guys, but I don't know. It's every team hypes up that one seed. It's like, oh, this is really great. You know, we're a one seed, and you know, teams are going to have to go through us. And I mentioned it a few weeks ago when Tennessee played Vanderbilt. This team just doesn't have an enforcer.
Doesn't have that it factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have a Dalton Connect this year,
and
who
just
can be your closer down the stretch.
And we thought that was Chaz Lanier for a while,
yeah.
But then you know, he kind of disappeared there in January, and I don't know, man. I want to win. I want to win more than I want a one seed, because the one seed doesn't mean anything.
Do you have another favorite team in a different sport besides the Vols, just in general?
I mean, my dad's from West Virginia.
I'm not talking about basketball. I'm like, do you have a favorite baseball team or a football team?
Yeah, I mean, I like the Braves.
Cheer for them, because you're not going to see that from the Vols, all right?
We've got a long way to go. Tennessee has to hold serve, because staying on that one line is going to be tough. Duke might go 20-0 in the ACC. I think they're going to easily be a one seed because the ACC is horrible this year. Auburn and Alabama are going to be tough to knock off the one line. Tennessee still has a head-to-head with Alabama, right? I think.
Yeah, they play March 1st in Knoxville.
Right, ooh. So that could end up being kind of an elimination game for a one seed.
Sure.
So there's a long way to go to even get to the top seed. But if you get a draw like this, Tennessee, even though I don't think that they're a national championship level team, they could find their way into the Final Four if they end up in the right spot in the bracket. So long way to go, but Tennessee's put themselves in a good spot with back-to-back wins over Florida and Missouri. Vanderbilt coming up right after us with, I think it's a massive game.
Mm-hmm.
Massive. Vanderbilt, according to Lunardi, is the fourth-to-last team in. So they'd be playing in the first four, but they'd be the closest to getting a bye to the round of 64. Looking at Vanderbilt's schedule the rest of the way, I mean, there's no easy schedules in the SEC. And I think Vandy, honestly, has one of the tougher ones. Today is a winnable game against Texas at home. Texas is also kind of a bubble team.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one that it feels like you have to win. That would be their fifth SEC win. The rest of the way, you got Auburn at home on Tuesday. That's the number one team in the country. That's not going to be easy. We've seen that Vandy can beat top 10 teams at home. They've done it twice. But number one team in the country, not going to be easy. Then at Tennessee, at Kentucky. Both those teams are going to want revenge. And you're on the road. Ole Miss has looked really good lately. At Texas A&M, who we just mentioned is a two seed. Missouri at home, they're a top 15 team in the country. You do finish with Arkansas and Georgia, so those are two winnable games down the stretch. But you probably got to get to seven wins to even have a chance at the tournament in the SEC.
Yeah.
And eight would make you feel a lot better.
Just because of how deep the conference is.
Right. Yeah. Like 8-10, I think, gives you a really good chance to get in out of the SEC. 7-11, I think you're going to be interested on Selection Sunday. But you would probably need some help. You couldn't have bid stealers out of some of the mid-major leagues. Yeah, they need at least three more wins. Today would be a big one to kind of get you playing with house money, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you can get that fifth win today, Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, back to back to back.
It's a gauntlet.
You're kind of playing with house money at that point, where it's like, if you can just win one of those three, you're in a good spot. But if you lose all of them, you're not completely out of it.
I'd say Tennessee's in kind of a similar situation today as well.
Yeah.
With Oklahoma's a winnable game. Kentucky on Tuesday. That's that's kind of a big game, depending on how Kentucky plays today, and then Vanderbilt next Saturday. Is that right?
But Tennessee's not one of those like four teams that's just trying to make it into the tournament. Tennessee's up there already.
In terms of just feeling good as you go, as you're going into March, today's kind of one of those that I think you got to win, and maybe win convincingly.
Yeah, that's true.
And for Vandy, you lose today, there's a decent chance you could be on a six-game losing streak heading into Ole Miss. And that's nothing to do with Vandy. Like, I think Vandy's a really good team. Mark Byington has done a really great job over there. But you're playing three straight top 15 teams, two of them on the road, and the one you have at home is the number one team in the country after this. So today feels like a huge one. You're coming off of two losses where you let it halftime and let it slip away on the road. You're inside Memorial today. I think this is a huge one. And again, pregame coverage is coming up right after us at 11:30 with Kevin Ingram and Tim Thompson over there from Memorial. If Vandy wins this one, I feel good about them getting into the tournament. I think they could win three out of these final games, especially with Arkansas and Georgia to end the year. Those are games they could win. And the SEC is so tough. Like, Ole Miss and Missouri, yeah, they're good. They're top 25 teams. But coming to Nashville, it's hard to win in the SEC on the road.
It is.
So you got to win your home games. If Vandy can win today, I think that puts them in a great spot to return to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and when you mention about all these top 15, top 25, like their next six games after Texas, you mentioned three are in the top 15. All six of them are in the top 25. So if you go look at that, like, I think Ole Miss and the Missouri, like you're saying, if they can win those two games because they're ranked, that again, you're saying, brings more reassurance. And I'm with you on that.
Right. And every win in the SEC is quality right now.
Right.
Like, you're not, even though Arkansas and Georgia probably aren't going to make the tournament, Georgia's on the bubble, Arkansas kind of on the bubble too, those are the games you're going to have to win. So the way I'm looking at it, if you can win most of your home games left are Texas, Auburn, Ole Miss, Missouri, Arkansas. So you got five. Could you win three of those?
Yeah.
That's the hope.
Now, Wallman, cover your ears here, all right, buddy? I don't want you to hurt yourself. All right?
I'm listening. Give it to me.
Right for the jugular. Say the Vols end up beating Tennessee on the road, and then win those other two games, Ole Miss and Missouri.
You're in.
Yeah, they have to be in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Tennessee's a projected number one overall seed.
If Vandy can be 7-11 in the SEC, but you have three wins between Tennessee, Kentucky, Auburn on the year, I think that's
enough.
That's good enough to get you in. And some of the teams that they beat in the non-conference that maybe didn't seem to be quality wins have looked better than expected. I think Cal's been a little bit better than people thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech, I thought Virginia Tech was going to be the worst team in the Power Five coming into this year.
It's true.
They haven't been good. They're not a tournament team, but they aren't a completely horrible team.
Right. They're a competing team.
Right.
That's a good way to put it.
I think they're middle of the pack in the ACC, which is more of an indictment on the ACC than it is a compliment for Virginia Tech. But
yeah,
they won that game convincingly in Blacksburg. They beat TCU on the road. Like, they've got some quality wins there. But I think you do need you need either three wins with one of them being a big one, or you need four wins total to get yourself into the tournament.
I think four wins total might be the avenue.
That might be the easiest path.
Yeah.
And that's got to start today against Texas. And again, pregame coverage starting right after us at 11:30. Tip-off coming up at noon. We'll keep talking college basketball on the other side. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman, Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, wrapping up hour number two. We are on a little bit longer today. Going to be with you till 11:30 and lead you right into Vanderbilt coverage from Memorial Gymnasium as the Commodores take on the Texas Longhorns. We've been talking about the men's side of the bracket, where things are looking. The SEC currently projected to have 13 teams in by Joe Lunardi. Quickly here as we wrap up hour number two, the women's side. I thought maybe Jake Wallman was going to mention Tennessee's big win on Thursday for his headline, but figure we should mention it. Tennessee beating UConn for the first time since 2007 on Thursday night. And the SEC, The women's side, maybe not quite as dominant as the men's side, but it's up there. Some really good teams on the SEC women's side. Obviously, South Carolina is the defending national champion. I saw Texas in person on Thursday night. They are now a one seed, according to Charlie Cream of ESPN. That Texas team, Madison Booker, if you haven't heard of her, she wears 35 for Texas, so she's got a little bit of a Kevin Durant look to her. Not quite as big of an outside shooter as KD was, but just has the ability to get to her spot, rise, and knock down a shot from anywhere on the floor.
The constant of, like, your money-making shot. Like, if you're right on the, like, I'd say what, the corner, the elbow?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of people's bread and butter. Maybe that's hers. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's Texas is really good. And then, obviously, you have LSU, who's always a national championship contender. Kentucky's really good. And now Tennessee has moved themselves into a hosting opportunity in the NCAA tournament. Vandy, off this weekend, but back in action Thursday night, 8 p.m. tip against Mississippi State. The Commodores still in a really good spot to obviously make the tournament and sure, maybe have a chance to make a little bit of a run. Big one on Thursday night, though. At home, Mississippi State is kind of a bubble team. Let's see, where are they projected here?
While you are looking that up, I'm curious, Jake, because you're around this team 24-7. You're calling their games. How can Vandy's women's team with Shea Ralph get out of this little funk they're in now? Because, like, I was producing the game last Sunday, unfortunate loss to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Texas, obviously, is a really good ball club. They've had some tough matchups, understandably.
It's tough. The SEC, again, it's not like the men's side where you're facing a top 10 team every single game.
Right.
But Ole Miss and Texas, it just felt like bad matchups for us. Like, Ole Miss is a weird team. They're very different from a lot of other SEC teams where it's like they don't have a sharpshooter on the outside. It's really just they put four girls who are 6'1" and can shoot from the elbow and can get to the rim. Like, that's, they all do the same thing. And I feel like it was just a bad matchup. Texas kind of similar and obviously really good on their home floor. They haven't lost there all year. I think Vandy will be fine. The next couple are winnable. Mississippi State, I mentioned on Thursday, they're an 8 seed projected in the tournament. So that would be a quality win for Vandy on Thursday night. That's a late tip again, 8 o'clock. And then on the road at Auburn, who they've been kind of floating around the bubble. A lot of injuries for Auburn this year. So if Vandy can win those two games, they'll be in a great spot.
Okay.
You'll get to 7-5 in the SEC. That'll get Vandy to 20 wins overall in the year. And they still have games against some teams like Texas A&M and Missouri, who they're towards the bottom of the league later on in the season. So I think Vandy, if they can win the games that they are favored in, I guess I would say, against a team maybe like lower in the net.
Taking care of business.
Right. If you take care of business in those games, I think Vandy should end up being 6th seed.
Now, I know earlier in the season that kind of, I guess, media was kind of hinting at, oh, maybe Vandy could host a regional. Is that still in the cards or not really?
I think they would probably have to pull off a big upset.
Okay. Against like Oklahoma.
So they're going
like
to Oklahoma. That win, I think, would maybe put them in the conversation again.
Okay.
The one that would obviously maybe push you over the top is if you beat South Carolina.
Yeah.
And that is coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow. That one, if you want to see good basketball, come out to that one. The 23rd, I believe, is the game.
That's correct. Sunday, too.
South Carolina. I mean, obviously, South Carolina's great. Don Staley, they've won multiple national championships, won it last year. But I think that Vandy played really well in South Carolina last year, still lost the game, but showed that they can hang in there with a team of that caliber. Now they're coming here. Vandy's got stars. I'm not saying they're going to pull off the upset because South Carolina, their only loss this year is to the number one team in the country in UCLA. But I think that's going to be a fun basketball game. And should be a good environment. That's the second home game coming up. Again, Mississippi State on Thursday, but then after that, it's South Carolina. So, excited for that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Michaela Blakes will kind of have another big game.
Blakes has been good, and Camille Pierre had a couple of games where she just didn't have her same touch shooting the ball, but she's figured it out the last couple games. She had 24 on Sunday, 26 on Thursday against Texas. So,
feeling the groove.
Yep. Yep, so excited. This is the last bye on Sunday for Vandy, and then 6 straight to end the regular season. And then we're into March, and we're going to Greenville for the SEC tournament, and then we'll see where we end up for the NCAAs. But excited for the rest of the season. And I think if I had to guess, I would say like ballpark six seed for Vandy, give or take a line. If they pull off a win or two, maybe they rise a little further. So we will see. Again, 8 o'clock tip on Thursday. I'll have the call from Memorial, 7:45.
You'll hear this guy on the radio.
Yes.
That guy across from the table.
Yes,
over there.
Excited for that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we will start our bonus half hour. We're going to get back into some football, and then we are going to make some Super Bowl picks coming up to wrap up the show. That's up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman, Fours Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.